Hello, is everybody back? Okay, great. Okay, so we'll start with asking if there are any announcements.
I have one. Our climate stewards application season is opening, and we are having a kickoff webinar tomorrow night. And I think Bruce Moravcik sent a note out to the Clean Network, but I haven't seen it come through. Do you know?
I got it this morning.
We got it.
Oh, you got it. You did get it. Okay.
They're forwarding it far and wide.
Okay. Thank you. We can take several, well, dozens of people at this point. So.
Great.
And we,
right.
Yeah,
and
we
you
have
said it's a webinar tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm, tomorrow night, and then on the 20th at 7:30 both nights. Just kind of an introduction. Here's what the program is, and here's the link to the application. So Google.
How many people do you generally have on those?
Well, our typical monthly webinars for climate stewards is close to 100.
Wow.
Mm.
Yep.
And how many of for these informational ones? These wouldn't be the people that are already in the program. That
right.
Are
these are people that are
right?
Prospective people. Yes, correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how many do you expect?
Well, we are hoping for at least 50 each time. We can take almost 100 people, we think. So
we're hoping that
word gets around. I'm sending a note out to NSDA and CSQ today, so we'll see if that goes out too. So.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, so whatever you have for networks would be greatly appreciated.
Okay, great. I'll do that. Okay, are there other announcements?
Well, I just spent the weekend down in Charlotte for the kickoff of the curating program through NSDA's, and It was really interesting. So there's 55 of us that will be part of helping to establish the new NGSS hub on the NSTA website. And we're all assigned to different performance expectations to find resources that at least closely support them. And if they do not, the areas that they are. So I'm on Human Impacts Middle School Earth Science, and there's three performance expectations there. And so it's interesting just because we're all still trying to figure out how to do this, which was kind of self-affirming because I've been trying to figure out too. But
so you're supposed to curate that for those three performance expectations. You're supposed to curate the NSTA online hub or whatever it is called.
Yep, exactly. So I have to figure out the. You know, we're just starting the program off, but one of my big things is talking to Anna. Just about the clean collection and where do you know where things are at with it would be nice to start with someone that's already said this is where we think things are aligned with NGSS and then look at those resources because our job is to look at them and then say, well, this is where, you know, they hit the core idea and maybe they hit the practice but they're not hitting the cross-cutting concept and this is how you might be able to bring in that cross-cutting concept.
Yeah, no, I can tell you this. I mean, so Anna probably told you this. We'll have an automatic first cut at it that none of us think is very good, and so I wouldn't really point you there. But NSDL is creating a crosswalk between the benchmarks, the AAAS Project 2061 benchmarks, and the NGSS. But like I said, that automatic crosslink, I don't think we think would be very good. However, in CLEAN, we've had a discussion about how we are going to then go in and realign all of our resources, and there's like 585 of them now.
Right.
So with the NGSS and how each resource, keeping in mind that each resource the rate systems were not developed with the integration in mind, or the NGSS is even as individual parts in mind, that each resource should be aligned separately with those three or four pieces. And some will integrate some of it and some won't, but at least it gives you a spectrum of what these resources do address. And so we are planning to do that with the clean collection.
Good.
Tamara, I just want to let you know
I finally got here. Okay, great. Thanks, Frank. So Kristen, we'll depend on you to keep us updated on what that process is like. And if there's anything that the Clean Network might be able to provide as input or feedback, we'd be happy to do that.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that I'll probably end up doing is, even though I hate to put it upon myself, but it might be, is to send out a clear email just to the network that says, I'm looking for resources in these three areas. If you think you have something, then please share it with me. Absolutely.
Keep in mind, keep in mind, Kristen, that not only are there 585 resources in the Clean Collection, and they do cover much broader range than you're interested in, that the resource collectors looked over 14,000 resources. And so,
well, that's what I like about
that,
it, is they're pre-vetted. And so I already know they've been through a process I've gone through that process too. And so having gone through that, that's where I like that as a good starting point. But I also would love it if someone's already gone through the trouble to say, I think this fits with this performance expectation, that I can start at least with the ones that people think do, so I don't have to look at everyone
I'll turn it around for you, Kristen. If you find resources that we don't have in the Clean Collection that do address particular performance expectations, we definitely would like to review them for the Clean Collection also.
Perfect. Well, great. Great.
So
we can help each other.
Sharing with us would be great.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
But there's one key point, though, Kristen, is the guidance that I'm getting on the NGSS is that the meeting the performance expectations isn't really the target. It's meeting the foundation elements of the performance expectation, and that the performance expectation is more an afterthought and should be considered as such.
Right. It's the end product. I mean, it's what you hope that students will be able to at the end. So, yes, it's the things that, thinking about the things that build to that, but we are asked to really, for our sake, we're starting with, three performance expectations are my starting point, and I have to go backwards from there.
Okay.
So Kristen, this is Scott. What it might be is that you're
identifying resources that might address pieces of that performance expectation, which would be worthwhile. And I'm just saying, for the Clean Collection, it would be worthwhile for us also.
Exactly.
I agree with Frank. Probably not going to find ones that... Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, one of the things that Ted Willard was leading most of it said was that, ideally speaking, in 5 years, the resources that they're identifying through this project right now are not even going to be the resources that are out there, because there isn't anyone that's really done this yet. No one's written the best resources. But we're starting with the ones that exist and then saying how or where it is weak and, in terms of fulfilling the whole performance expectation, and perhaps a suggestion if we want on how to change that. But more... it's not this part, but it's these two parts are in here.
Kristen, this is Scott. I'm curious whether you've thought about creating just some rough, almost learning progression that would lead to those performance expectations. That seems to be a way of opening up what the resources should be that would be ultimately associated with that particular performance expectation.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was just there on Saturday, so it's Tuesday, first of all. But second of all, I feel like a lot of people have been doing a lot of work, and I am a firm believer in not reinventing things. So
yeah.
I'm also looking for people that have been doing that.
Yeah.
So, and I know that you, many of you probably are, have been involved with that as well.
I can tell you that we're working on a oyster learning sequence, we're calling it, since it's not been well researched, so we can't really call it progression. there's a lot of discussion about that. But anyway,
yes,
we're calling it a learning sequence, K to high school, on using oyster science as a jumping off board, springboard for looking at some of the content and cross-cutting concepts and science and engineering practices. So we're not tying it all to performance. I mean, we're mentioning that, mm-hmm. you know, some of these skills are found in these learning, performance expectations. But my understanding is that mostly those performance expectations are for assessment people, and
yes.
that's,
mm-hmm.
that's not our job, at least my job. So we're focusing
thankfully.
On the underpinning things, and we're trying to tie some of the things related to climate change and oysters to this. So we have another meeting with teachers who are helping us with this, since they're the practitioners and they're going to field test this. We have another meeting with them this Saturday. So,
very cool.
Going effort, but we're not done yet.
Yeah. I think I'm wondering, given the and I know some of this work, but not as much obviously as you and the team that are working on this, is that, you know, as we all kind of are struggling in the same space, it wouldn't be a half bad future webinar or, you know, virtual workshop or something, just to kind of see how we're all approaching this challenge and mm-hmm. see if there's any you know, group thinking that kind of gets us all better along ability to do with this.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be open to that?
Yeah, sure. I can tell you where we're finding the pitfalls anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's the process.
That would be good.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm going to have to leave you. I've got
to
jump on another telecon.
Yeah.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Kristen, this is Scott again. I'm curious whether Ted talked about opening up the process. If there's only 55 people looking at this, this is kind of feeding on what Frank was just suggesting. Is there a way in which this could be actually done by a larger community rather than just the 55 of you?
I honestly don't know what their thinking is on that.
Okay. Sure.
They had 650 people apply.
Yes.
So it's not that there aren't people interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
So actually 1,500 people started the application, I guess. So that is an excellent question. I mean, it makes me feel a little nervous, you know. But it isn't, on the other hand, it's one piece of a bigger picture. I think it's not the end-all, be-all. And they're also, along with this particular part of the hub, I understand they're also going to be doing a clearinghouse of resources, which I think Clean will definitely
mm-hmm.
be in there. And someone else is working on that aspect. But that's a great question. Ted and Jen, is it Jen Horak? Is that her name? Yeah, Jennifer Horak are kind of leading the charge on this piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason I'm asking that is that certainly the ocean literacy and our climate literacy documents have been better and better received, I think, because they've been an open community-based process. And, you know, the effort that NSTA is making, you really want to have a lot of people buy into it as quickly as possible so that there's not somebody saying, oh, that doesn't go the way I'd like it to go, and go off on another tangent, and we have, you know, fragmentation of efforts on all of this.
But, you know, Scott, I'm with you completely, but
mm-hmm.
but when you have an efficiency like Clean, please, I implore them to just leverage where they have that, because that isn't the case in many places. But you know, start here.
Yeah.
And it may even be higher quality than you're ever going to be able to do just because
yeah.
of the work that went into Clean.
Yeah.
But there's another piece, which is, you know, where are the gaps? Mm-hmm. And one of the projects we've talked about in previous calls is this work that I've shared with some of you about coming up with a universal tagging system for disciplinary core ideas, and all their sub-bullets. And I know Ted's working on this, but soon, I hope, we'll have a better tagging system than the way the NGSS and the NRC framework work. Because right now, there's some things that are really, really fine chunks, and some things that are really a chunk that are really 12 things or 7 things. And they're not chunked properly for doing the work, Kristen, I think you have before you and the other people. We could talk about that further, but just so you guys know, Ted and Jeeve and others are working on really coming up with a universal code so that they're all kind of properly grouped at the level that is common or similar, so it's not apples and oranges of kumquats,
yes,
which is what's there now.
So this is Roberta, and this may be a really stupid question, but can anybody point me to an activity that is correlated to NGSS? I mean, the Kentucky conference that I just came back from, they said, you know, don't believe anybody if they tell you that their activities are correlated to NGSS. It hasn't been done yet. You know, it's too new, that kind of thing. And so a lot of us who are trying to correlate our activities are scratching our heads trying to figure out exactly how to do it. And I guess that's what this discussion is about. And I definitely vote for a future session where we can kind of get into that, because it would be nice to be able to know the most useful way to do something.
The way that we've talked about doing that for the CLEAN collection, as I mentioned earlier, we're planning to re-tag all the resources with respect to the NGSS, is that each resource is a separate tagging for each piece. So one piece is the disciplinary core idea. One piece is the science and engineering practice. One piece is the cross-cutting concept. And a fourth piece is the performance expectations. And no one resource is going to address them all. And
right.
It could be that in a particular, for example, you could have an activity which uses some science and engineering practice, that matches a science and engineering practice with a content that actually is not addressed explicitly in a performance expectation together, and yet they can be tagged separately for those two things as this is supportive of learning this particular science and engineering practice, and this is also supportive of addressing this particular content area. And so I think that it's not useful to try to think about identifying the conglomerate altogether,
right,
but to identify it with respect to each piece.
Yeah.
I think it's more of a triangulation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Kristen, just to build on that a little bit more, the way I'm thinking about it is that, you know, something that Ted turned me on to was this idea of instructional units, that the standards are really units. They're not lessons. They're units, which are made up of a group of things. And so I think one thing that would be helpful for the teachers and educators is to have some kind of not approved, but a recipe that says if you put this together, this together, this together, this together, and you can swap these things in and out if you choose.
Right.
But this set of things together would help build a unit. And CLEAN is well positioned to have great inputs into that, but it might not only be CLEAN stuff that fulfills all the pieces of a unit to do a standard.
That's the thing that bothers me a little bit about how, I mean, like I said, they're just starting. This meeting was not like, this is how you do it. It was basically the beginning of the discussion. It's, you know, a draft rubric. We're still, the goal is to have two resources potentially figured out by the April meeting. So this is very beginning, but that is the thing that for me, I mean, so I have these three performance expectations, but that doesn't, to me, doesn't make sense because of what you're saying, Frank, is that it is a recipe. There's more to it than these three performance expectations.
Well, but
I'm a little surprised that they assigned it to you that way, because as Frank said, the performance expectations is supposed to be something that's down the line. And in terms of identifying resources, it would make it just surprises me that they've kind of identified you with three performance expectations.
Yeah, I'm wondering how you would do it the other way. I mean, what would be the other way?
What I would suggest is identifying it through the disciplinary core ideas, where the whole range of science and engineering practices and the whole range of cross-cutting concepts would be relevant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a page. Go ahead.
This is Dan, who just joined in almost a minute or two ago. And I'm wondering a little bit about what you're talking about. Is it writing lesson plans for NSTA?
It's a little bit more than that.
Yeah, well, I've actually been asked to do that, and of course behind schedule. And it sounds like it's in the same vein that you're asked to write individual lessons.
I don't think she's asked to write individual lessons. She's asked to be curator for this NSTA hub that will identify resources, which, you know, NSTA is much broader than CLEAN, but the CLEAN collection kind of fits right into that, right into what they're trying to do. But it's to identify existing resources and somehow curate them so that they can make them available to the members of NSTA in terms of using them in their teaching so that they can best address the next generation science standards.
Okay.
So I don't think
exactly. Thank you.
Creating materials.
There is an effort going on that I was asked to contribute some lessons to by NSTA targeting the next generation science standards. And it started as writing individual lessons, and they're recognizing that that may not be the best approach or something like that, but we're working on it.
But you know, Don, one of the things that I helped Ted with some of that recommendations of who to go to for that. But it's a rich opportunity because we remember in the CLEAN process, you'd get to this spot where somebody would have a lesson that was kind of close, but it had some issues. And to get in there and really, you know, focus on new development on key areas is a rich, great opportunity. When you can get them. So,
well, and there was some discussion. Yeah, and there was some discussion this weekend too, with a few of us were wondering, you know, if we are going through resources and see how great it is, except for it's really not hitting one part. But it wouldn't be that hard to change it to actually be in a position to email, you know, contact that person and say, if you tweak this way, then you'll be hitting, you know, all three ideas that are addressed here, or you'll be supporting this area in a different way and actually being helpful in some way. So there was some discussion about, is there a process for that, or should that be a part of this whole effort?
Well, in many ways, Anna tried to do some of that when we'd run up against a resource that had some critical flaw in it, but everything else was awesome. And, you know, it works sometimes, but, you know, there's always the adapted aspect where you just kind of adapt and modify and you know, make it new.
Kristen, I don't know if you'll be able to annotate things at all, but the way we addressed that in CLEAN was that if something was close but there was one piece, we would address it in the annotations, especially in the sense of CLEAN that a lot of the resources we actually never really talk to the developer. And, you know, then down the line we would try to contact the developer, but sometimes these people were no longer around or couldn't be identified. So you can ask people to tweak things, or there may be other avenues to address it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to figure out the system, my spreadsheet, and for doing all this, and that's part of the deal, I guess.
Well, let me send you the thing that I've been working on with Ted. that has some of this kind of worked out at a better nugget level, and also has a where which I'm sorry, I missed it. I came in a little late. What subjects are you focused on?
I'm topic area earth science, middle school, human impacts. There are three performance expectations in that area.
Yep, I know where you are. Cool.
Yeah.
And just one last question. Sorry, I've been talking so much today. Kristen, the human impacts, elementary and high school, are the you guys seeing yourself as a team across that progression, or are you your own thing?
Yeah, so there's middle school and high school. The woman who's in the high school human impacts, although I think it's called human and sustainability at the high school level, she and I are in touch. I mean, the whole earth science cohort was put together to sort of work together. And there, Mary Colson, who's she was one of the writers. She's in Minnesota, up in Moorhead, actually. We have sort of a team leader, too, that's helping guide our group. So they put the middle school and high school together.
Cool. Thank you.
There are elementary level also, right?
I don't for human impact.
Not for
maybe
everything.
Not.
No.
I'm sorry, but there's one last piece of this. When you're looking at this, there are performance expectations and you know ideas at the elementary level that do feed into. I know they didn't put it in the thing, but I think they made a mistake there. There are some things that build to these ideas at the elementary level. That's for sure.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, that's, yes, absolutely. Yes, I need a big, huge strand map on my...
Well, they don't exist yet, but there is something
it's like
that,
a Star Trek... when you can move things around and, like, you know, I need one of those things.
Well, we're
working
on
that. There's an Excel spreadsheet that might help you.
Yeah.
sounds
send
like
it over, Frank.
I'd
love it.
Where you can walk into.
Yes, I need my holodeck.
Yeah, three-dimensional concept.
All right, now. Don Dinner could not behave yourself.
It's not in
my
repertoire, Frank.
So I haven't been using spreadsheets, but I've been using something called the Brain, which is kind of a mind map on steroids, and that's actually been quite useful to put all these connections together. So that's another software that might be useful. The nice thing about it is you can kind of always be centering what you're looking at and see how it's related to a whole bunch of other things. And I've been doing a lot of that with ocean stuff, but the climate is yet to come.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. I could send you a version of it.
Hmm. Cool, I just looked it up. That looks cool.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's version 8. It's been around, actually, for a long time. It was called Personal Brain for a long time, and they rebranded it or whatever, but it's...
What's it called now?
Called the Brain, all one word.
Yeah, it's the first hit on Google.
What I like about it is the ability to label links and actually put a note on the link so you can say how things are related to each other, and then you can attach all kinds of text and images and whatnot to individual nodes and even to individual links. So it can get quite complex. But you can also search on it, and you can tag individual nodes and links and all that stuff. So it's all singing, all dancing, and you just have to tame it.
but you know, Scott, one of the things I'm anticipating is that when we geek out on this stuff and love it and, you know, go all over it, especially the three-dimensional cube of you know, 300-something ideas with multiple connections, you show it
Absolutely.
To a practicing teacher, and they freak.
Well, that is the challenge. In fact,
This is what we came up with this strandlet idea in the clean maps, where you just, like, what would you teach after, what would you teach before, and what is the thing you're centering on? And, you know, if as long as there's a way to kind of hide the complexities when you're talking about one thing.
And actually what's true with this particular piece of software, you can do exactly that. You can say how far you want it to go. You don't see the full map. You can actually select pieces of it. So there's some advantage to that. And but I, you know, Frank, I absolutely agree. I like the Strandlets quite a bit. I think that's I call them instructional patterns. So you know what's coming in and what's going out, and you just sort of focus on what's going on with that particular unit's instruction. That's good. Yeah.
Cool. That's exciting.
Yeah. So I think, you know, you want to do it at both levels. You want to have the big holodeck version of all of this, so you see how all this stuff is related to each other. And then you have to really focus and say, okay, this is what you're needing to focus on today.
Right.
Well, it seems like someone, I mean, it seems like it, I guess it just doesn't, but it just seems like it should exist. I mean, in some ways, having three performance expectations seems like, okay, someone must, it must exist then. When I take out, you know, so there's the three, you've got your three dimensions in this expectation. You've got analyze and interpret data. I'm looking at one of them. On natural hazards, inform the development of technologies. So you've got, you know, so three areas. So you should be able to go back. There should be a map that goes back and shows what builds to each of those three, you know, the cross-cutting concept. What does that?
Yeah.
Does that exist?
Okay. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I was just going to say, I certainly know, you know, Frank, you and I have worked to create a bunch of tables like that for our own work, and yes, Ted's also been trying to do some of that stuff, too. But as far as I understood, Achieve did not do it.
They did not.
Definitely not on the website, and Ted is the one that sort of, quite frankly, has a little bit of money to do parts of that.
Scott, you're absolutely right. My understanding is that Ted, being Ted, the Oracle of strand maps, has in his interests the ability. I hope Ted is on this call because I love calling him that. is going to try and do that. And I've seen prototypes of a strand map. You know, because remember the strand map is really a cube. It's not a single sliver. It's more like mica, and there are strong pathways across the maps as well as up and down them. And so he's trying to build something like that, but that's a lot of work to build. I think we're going to need this for various reasons. So I don't think it's going to just roll out like AAAS did. I just don't see that coming off anytime soon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to build our own little pieces of it. It's basically whatever you need to do. And the hope is that as a community we can do those pieces in a way that they will build up to the big map.
Yeah.
And that's why Frank, your comments around the coding, the universal coding, would be very helpful. So that part it makes it easier to put all these pieces together.
Absolutely. And I've shared this with some of you guys, but. Really, it's just the ability to tag and code this stuff is critical at the unit of instruction. Much smaller pieces, because right now it's just some of these things are monstrous.
Yes.
And they need to be taken apart, because if you tag it to that huge thing, you don't really know where the gap is. Because it hides a gap that really exists. Whereas a resource only deals with one quarter of that. It doesn't really deal with all three quarters of it. Because it's tagged too big.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an issue we're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. Hey, guys, I just got to say right off the bat, rarely do I have a cool conversation like this with people that often. I can have this kind of geeky conversation, and it's a pleasure. doesn't happen too often, guys.
Oh. I think it happens on this call almost every week.
That's why we still talk to each other.
Yeah.
It's a rare opportunity.
That's good. Okay, are there any other comments about this or any other announcements or other topics people would like to discuss?
I wouldn't mind kicking around that social media Twitter thing we talked about a little bit. Before we overwhelmed a couple people. So can we go there, or do we have somewhere else we want to go first?
I would love that.
We can go there. One of the things, actually, I have a question about that, because one minor announcement is that tomorrow in Massachusetts, we're going to have a Massachusetts STEM Summit, in which I'm going to be sharing CLEAN and other resources with the administrators of the schools across Massachusetts. And various groups have tweeted out that this is happening in Massachusetts. And I actually tweeted out to the CLEAN Network. It was just, I couldn't see where that actually showed up anywhere. So I'm curious as to how this works. The other piece that this will be helpful is that we are planning, and I have begun to engage the people who are involved in social media at AGU to really effectively use our Twitter handle in communicating about the meeting. So I would be very pleased for this to go, you know, to have this conversation, to move this forward now, or continue the conversation now.
Cool. So let me make a proposal, and then you guys can kick it around. That was a really rich conversation. So here's my proposal. I would like for the CLEAN community, both climate and energy literacy, to come up with a handle, a Twitter handle. So that's the at whatever. And then agree upon some, probably not just one, but a couple related hashtags. And that's kind of where the thread was going. And we talked a lot about that. But the difference between a handle, well, that's like your homepage about your community.
Why can't climate lit be that handle within identifying relevant hashtags?
It could. One of the things we talked about in that monstrous amount of email, which was awesome, was that perhaps the handle CLEAN or climate literacy was too inside baseball for the people on that. And what they were leaning towards, and this is what I picked out of it, was know our climate, know your climate. That was in that space. That was there was the climate gonk or whatever it was.
Climate, K-N-O-W. Yeah. I think that was one that we were leaning toward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
we were trying to nail down exactly what audience we're aiming for, because that was a piece of it, of, you know, who we're trying to reach.
Exactly.
Could you sort of just very briefly tell me what the content of these are supposed to be? Because then, you know, it'll help everybody on the phone who wasn't really engaged in that conversation.
So I think really what we're trying to do, and I think this is what Twitter will allow us to do, maybe more so than Facebook, is that there's we have a really large community of practitioners who represent a lot of different focus areas in response to climate literacy, energy literacy, and that right now we don't really have a social media space that all of us are working in. This would allow us, this strategy would allow us a way to kind of bring our communities together, our contributions to the community together. So that if I'm sitting at a session at AGU and I want to say something important about what somebody just said, all I have to do is either use the handle or the hashtag, and it spontaneously comes together. But if I want to add a little bit more specificity, I could, you know, use a related hashtag, like Know Your Climate K-12 or Know Your Climate Learning or something like that. But if we came up with a kind of combination here, it would allow a lot of different streams of content to come together. And I shared with you guys, I think maybe not everybody, Matthew Nisbet, he had a tweet where he had a presentation he recently gave. And that presentation was uploaded to SlideShare, which is a function at the website out there, and he tweeted his slides out using one of his hashtags or handles, or I don't remember which one it was, but the point is that we've already done so much work in our community. We just haven't shared it widely. And I think that that's the piece of what we're missing in our community is that sharing platform.
Well,
I think Twitter is the way to go.
So I think, and I really very strongly encourage you to use Climate Lit, the handle, @ClimateLit. No, there's been one tweet to it since I got it a number of months ago. And I think that this it's all-encompassing enough that if you can use the hashtags to customize it, if there's particular audiences you want to get to. And I don't think ultimately how relevant the words are that are in the handle, I don't think that that's ultimately the thing. But we have an avenue here, and it's also short. Know your climates are relatively long.
So one of the things. Go ahead. I'll stop.
I was just going to agree to some extent about there being a need. We've tried a number of different ones over the years here, just because that's all we do is climate change education. And so if there was something we were all consistently agreeing on and we all started using, at least for the content area piece, the @ClimateLit, Tamara, if that's what is associated with the Clean Network, then great, then that's the name, like when we're trying to catch your attention and that. But as far as the content that we're sharing, I think it would be excellent and useful to define those and then start sharing those out there for, us, and I'm sure ACE would use them. I mean, the organizations that are actually, this is what we tweet about, it would be very useful. And I don't know if NASA and NOAA's education program, when they're using that particular content
area, whatever
we decide that is.
Are you thinking that
we would.
Are you thinking that, that needs a separate handle?
It's not a handle, it's a hashtag that defines, it's like a tag, Tamara.
Right. Right, exactly. So that's what I agree. I agree that you should use, because if you go to Twitter and you go to Climate Lit, the Clean logo will come up. I mean, that's it. It is the Clean account. So that's why I think that if this is a community, that I think we should make use of that, and then we can definitely define a few hashtags that, you know, and obviously the number will grow over time or morph or evolve, but identifying for the, you know, particular audiences. I mean, we may have a specific one just for AGU. I don't know if that's useful. I know that other meetings tend to do that.
One of the things, I mean, I hear your proposal, but I'm wondering if the recommendation, the handle you've chosen is the one that the community would agree with. From what I heard in the emails, they were tending to lean away from that one, and they were going a different direction. And so the real question is, and this is what David Lustig, I don't know if I got that right. Recommended to me was to set up a doodle poll and send it out to the listserv and just see kind of what's the community's thinking on this. And we have enough raw materials to set one up. And so I'm willing to kind of put together the list of kind of options and see where we go. Because to set up a new handle is not a lot of work. Especially if there's not a lot of commitment to it. But if we what's the best path forward here for the handle, and then there's a series of hashtags that we could come up with. But
can I ask a question? This is Roberta, I just want to clarify, since I'm not as Twitter literate, as some of you all obviously are. The difference between a handle and a hashtag. I understand a hashtag. But when I am tweeting, say, one of these tweets that we came up with, one of the many that we came up with last week, I would then use the hashtag to what?
Yes.
I don't know the difference.
All right,
sorry.
So, Roberta, so the difference is that if somebody, so that the handle Climate Lit is an account, and you can go to that account. And so, and I have a handle, and mine is T. Ledley. And so that I have an account. A hashtag is something that you make up on the fly. There's no account associated with it, but anybody who, so if I were to put CleanNet and T. Ledley and whatever yours is and whatever Frank's is, and it could be a combination of hashtags and handles, it will go to all of, it will go to those accounts, and then those people can, so then Frank maybe, he retweets it out, and then they see that there's a conversation that's going on with Climate Lit, and then they can put that hashtag into theirs, and they don't have to go to all of those accounts again. They just can, anybody who was part of that conversation with them would get it. So I think the main distinction is that handles are accounts, and hashtags are just socially agreed on conversations. They're not an account.
Right.
So if we're tweeting something,
sense?
We would put both the Climate Lit in there and a hashtag
right.
that's appropriate. Is that correct?
If you wanted, yes.
Yeah.
So if I wanted you and Frank,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say if you wanted.
I'm having trouble with this.
If you wanted everyone in the Climate Literacy Network to know what you had tweeted, Roberta, you could actually search at Climate Lit. You would put at Climate Lit in there, so that would call attention to that. We could be just kind of search. We could say anything that's come to at Climate Lit, and you can do a search. But if there's a particular, so you can do that. But if we all decide, like we're all at AGU in 2 weeks, and we've decided that if there's anything at AGU that seems like the network should know about, you could also put a tag on it, basically a hashtag that says AGU 2014 climate or I'm, you know, whatever we decide.
Right.
And you can also just search on that hashtag and it'll pull up all these sorts of whatever's coming through that's interesting that has to do with that.
So the other piece that is relevant is that if I say I am, so I have an account, T. Ledley, and I have an account, I can say that I'm following other accounts. And so I can say I'm following NOAA or I'm following Climate Lit. And anything that is tweeted that has that at Climate Lit in or at NOAA, whatever, in, I will get. If anybody from the Clean Network says they're going to follow Climate Lit, then they will get everything, regardless of what the hashtag is. So there's multiple ways to make connections, and it isn't always straightforward as to how that works. But that is, I think, the distinction between the handle, and I still feel really strongly that it's not worthwhile to create a new handle. It's just people will once people follow it, then they follow it, and what it is irrelevant. The hashtags become more relevant as you develop different conversations.
So, but the question here is that the right hashtag for the community? And I mean, there's an issue with Climate Lit versus clean versus because you know clean is energy too. And it's just an open question.
Yeah, I know. Frank, when I spent about an hour trying to find one that wasn't taken already, a handle that wasn't taken already, it was short. You don't want to do clean because of it didn't work. It doesn't really work. And also you get cleaning fluids and stuff when you do those kinds of searches. I tried all different kinds of combinations and found one that was difficult to find that was understandable and short and not taken.
Yeah. Well, you know, so I don't remember that being in the traffic flying around, but that could be the handle. And maybe that's just the handle we all have to get, you know, wrapped around and, you know, going with. And then there's the hashtags that connect all our content as well. So,
right.
Do you think the
I think
doodle
it's worthwhile
poll...
thinking through the
Yeah, this
and I think we should even
delay.
Have a separate hashtag for the. Yeah, the problem is there's a delay, so we keep talking over top of each other. I think that for the AGU meeting, we might have a unique hashtag for that. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't. So let's say we develop one for K-12, and there's a particular comment that we want to send out to the group about the AGU meeting and to this community. You can put both hashtags in there. It just reduces the number
exactly.
of characters you have to say the other thing.
Exactly.
Anyway,
So should we come together?
Frank.
I mean, I could easily send, you know, a digest of the at least the hashtags, and then put in a proposal about the deal with the handle separately, and just say, you know, what's the community thinking? Should we go with these hashtags, and maybe these variations of those hashtags?
Boil it down to a handful of hashtags that cover all the bases of the different kinds of tweets that we're planning on doing. And for what it's worth, any comments that I made on all of that discussion were completely convoluted because I didn't understand the difference between a handle and a hashtag.
I will say in the context of what was that email conversation got to be so long that which is why I didn't have time to actually engage in it at the time. So I'm glad we're having the conversation now. The other thing that I'm worried about, Frank, is I think that in the context of the small number of people that are on this call, or maybe somewhat slightly larger, it's worthwhile having that conversation about hashtags, but I think hashtags are organically grown, and people will just make up new ones. So I don't think a whole lot of effort should be made around identifying a comprehensive list. This isn't like the clean collection where you want to fill all the holes because people will fill a hole as they see fit.
Well, that's the problem.
But I think maybe having an initial set that we start from, and I would suggest you use Google Doc to sort of lay it out so that it's easy to access,
sure.
And we could actually post it.
Yep.
Okay, so how would we vote if you were? How would we get to a consensus using a Google Doc as opposed to a doodle poll or something like that?
Well, a doodle poll is, I mean, I guess I've never used it for anything but scheduling a meeting, so I'm not sure you could. Can you do that? I guess
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, you can just choose themes instead.
Oh, choose names.
Yeah.
Instead.
Yeah.
No, we can do a doodle poll to vote on it. I'm just sort of thinking about laying it out there.
I think once.
I'm fine with it.
What I would guess is maybe if we did, I think we have enough raw materials in the conversation to lay out some hashtags, and I'm only thinking like three or four at most, and they're all
they're
related to each other. So,
Go ahead, Frank.
Well, and then we vote on those variances, and then we kind of have a sense of how to move forward, and then maybe we lay out the strategy in a Google Doc that we can look at. I think that's the best path forward, in my opinion.
Okay, I just I'm a little concerned with just those few that you will narrow the audience that will be interested a bit too much. And one of the things that I do want to try to do for the Clean Network is to increase the professional diversity. So that's just a tension, and I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I think that using the hashtags is a useful idea. Let's just not make it so narrow, you know, them too narrow. That's
absolutely.
My only comment on that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, the other thing that this is sort of a bigger issue, but sort of this will play into it. We are in the process, it won't happen until after AGU, but we are in the process of revising the clean pages and including the Clean Network page. And one of the ways, in terms of the Clean Network has not really had a
very good engaging homepage for a while. But the piece that's used the most often, as you might guess, is the teleconference page. But we've also talked about potentially having another page that identifies documents that have worked on. And right now there's things that have definitely in draft mode, and I know that Frank and Karen and Scott have been talking about identifying relevant NGSS with respect to climate and energy. And so we're sort of thinking about having, and probably will have, another page in which documents that people generally feel have been well talked through and, you know, as distinguished from a draft conversation that never got completed, could appear on this page. And that was just sort of to let people know that that's going to happen. So there could be a place on the Clean Network page for these kind of conversations where we sort of come to some kind of conclusions or agreed upon language that will be accessible to everybody.
Good.
Okay, so we are at the end, about the end of our hour. I believe we do have a presentation next week. Yes. Mona Bell from the Texas Sea Grant College program at Texas A&M. I don't have a title here.
College of
Information and the Expert Witness Academy. Sorry, Information about Expert Witness Advocacy Training Academy. That's what's going to be next week. So it should be interesting and a little bit different. So expert witnesses with respect to these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
So thanks a lot, everybody. And Frank, we'll look forward to seeing your list.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks all.
All right.
Everyone.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.